Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark 8, beginning in verse 34. This is the word of the Lord. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. Good to be here with you this morning. Good to be able to open up God's Word. And I would encourage you to do that if you have not already opened up your copy of God's Word or turned it on, whatever you do with the Word. I encourage you to do that, even if it's just long enough to 34 through 38. I believe this passage is one of the most important passages on discipleship, on living the Christian life. And this is Christ's call to anyone who would come after him. Pastor Mike mentioned just a bit ago about New Year's resolution, and this is about the time of the year where people are starting to think about that, and gym memberships are ramping up. Other things are taking place, but I encourage you, if you're going to make one New Year's resolution, that it would be this here, that you would deny yourself this year, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. If there's one, that is the one that you should focus on. Over the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the promise of Christmas. Gary started us off in Isaiah 9, looking at a promise made, that is the promise of the coming Messiah. And then Brian took us last week to Luke chapter 2 with a promise realized, the birth of our Messiah. This morning we're going to be looking at a promise lived, what we see in verse 34 through 38. And what this is a radical call for anyone who would choose to come and follow Christ, that is you and me, and its implications for our lives. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Sounds easy, right? Well, it's not. It's a call to give up all that you have to follow Christ. You must be ready to die for the sake of Christ. That is how radical this call is from our Lord and Savior. Unless you think that this was just an isolated saying of Jesus, let me share with you some other places in Scripture that we see this radical call. Because we encounter this type of language time and time again in Scripture. All these things coming from our Lord. In Matthew 10, beginning in verse 32, Jesus says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, will find it. These are hard words to hear. And in Luke chapter 9, you'll see very similar language to the passage that we're looking at this morning in Mark 8. But at the end of Luke 9, we see Jesus saying, oh, you come to me and you say that you want to follow me? I don't think you're serious, because you have other more important things in your life. And if that's the case, then you cannot be my disciple. At the end, in Luke 9:57, Jesus says this, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another came and said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What we see in these passages and even other passages in Scripture, it's radical language. Yet for you and me today, this is the invitation that he gives in order for us to follow him. Now, I want you to understand that when Jesus speaks of hating his family, he doesn't mean hatred in the sense that you despise your family, those that you love. No, he is saying that you need to love me more. Don't hate your family. We know this is not the case. Jesus is not saying that. You remember back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If he's calling us to love even our enemies, then we are to love our family, not hate them. So he's not saying love your enemies, but hate your family. He simply means that you treat them as if they aren't nearly as significant as coming to Christ. So even if it costs me everything, including my family. So this morning, I want us to look at this passage, and I want us to see three things. First is the challenge of Christ's call. The challenge of Christ's call. Number two, the cost of Christ's call. And three, the consequences of ignoring Christ's call. So this morning, let's first look at the challenge of Christ's call. As we move into this, let me read for us one more time this passage for us. And calling the crowds to him and with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So Jesus challenges anyone that would come after him in three ways. This is for unbelievers and believers alike, because we all have to eventually follow this call. And he says in verse 34, he says, if anyone would come after me. And I think it's important to know that Jesus is saying this right after Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. And I want to read that real quick just to set your mind on that. It says, and he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." At this point in the passage, he does not just speak to Peter. No, he turned and he saw the crowds and he called them over to him along with his disciples. And you'll notice the passage that Pastor Mike read this morning. He also called and spoke to the crowds. And many times when he speaks in this language, he is speaking to a crowd, because this is not just for Peter to follow. This is not something. No, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must do these things. So this was a call to the crowd when Jesus spoke these words. But just as much today, this is the call for us, and it is true for us. So let's look at this call and what it means to deny yourself, what it means to take up your cross, and what it means to follow Christ. We see first that we are to deny ourselves. When Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, he's calling us to relinquish our self-centered desires, to relinquish the ambitions that we have in life. It's a call to humble ourselves, to put Christ first and others above ourselves, to live a life of sacrificial love. And denying oneself, this means to be willing to set aside our own comforts, the conveniences that we have, and our preferences for the sake of serving God and others. The verb here means really to disown, to refuse to associate with, or to companion with someone. In this particular passage, it's mainly speaking of ourselves, that we are to deny ourselves. I think in understanding what Jesus is saying, he says, when you come to Christ, you're saying, I don't want to associate anymore with the person that I am. I'm a sinful person. I abandon all self-will. I abandon my own ambitions, my own agenda. I give up my plans for the sake of Christ and the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We are different creatures now. We no longer live for ourselves. We now live for Christ. We live for the sake of the gospel. I think Paul explained to the Galatians well this process of dying to self as one in which he had been crucified with Christ. You remember in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was a new man. Paul knew what it meant to deny self, to take up his cross and to follow the ways of the world. It was now dead. He had put these things off. And the new Paul was now the dwelling place of Christ who lives in and through him. This doesn't mean that when we die to self, we become inactive or insensible, nor do we feel ourselves as dead. Rather, dying to ourselves means that the things of the old life, they're put to death, especially our sinful ways, our sinful desires, the lifestyles that the world longs for, that we might once have been engaged in. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We were once pursued selfish pleasures. We now should, with equal, maybe even more passion, deny those things in our lives and pursue that which pleases God. As we look at the world, we see that this is contrary to what the world teaches, right? We can look to the world, we can look at the entertainment industry, and see that this is not what Jesus is calling. The world is all about self. It's what I want. I want this. I want that. And I will do anything to get that. I want the world, some would say. I want what makes me happy. I want a Cowboys Super Bowl win this year. Yes, thank you. I can taste it. It's coming soon. Been a long time. But this is what the world is desiring. We want me time. We want seclusion from anyone else. We want to be by ourselves. Or we want to be of the world and all that the world has to give. We want to be a part of that. Let me remind you, if that is you, what James says about the worldly. He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I hope that is not what we desire as those who follow Christ. I do not want to be an enemy of God. And I hope you don't either. Therefore, we must reject these thoughts to be different from the world. But also, we are to take up our cross. What does this mean? When he says you are to take up your cross, what does that mean? Well, those listening certainly knew what this meant. And not from Christ in the sense at this point, because up to this point, Christ has told him or told them that he must suffer many things, that he would be rejected, that he would die, but he had not told them at this point that he would die as a criminal on the cross and treat him in that way. That would come later. Yet, death by crucifixion would be the thing that came to their mind, because 30,000 or so Jews had been crucified by the Romans and in other lands around the Lord's time. On one particular occasion, some 2,000 Jews were crucified at one time. So this was nothing new to them. They were very used to seeing crucified victims, because the Romans would always make them pass along the highways for everybody to see them. The victims who were going to be crucified, including our Lord, had to drag their cross to the place where they would be executed. This was suffering beyond all description, suffering beyond all human compassion. Those who were crucified, for them it was humiliating and a very painful experience. So they knew exactly what it meant when Jesus said, "To be my disciple, you must take up your cross." And there are many people who would interpret this cross to be taking up as some type of burden that they must carry in their lives. Maybe a strained relationship, maybe a thankless job, maybe a physical illness, maybe a mother-in-law, a child. And we hear these things, we even hear these things preached from the pulpit, but not this pulpit. Because when Jesus said, "Take up your cross," that is not what he meant. Because taking up our cross means embracing a life of sacrifice for the sake of Christ. Taking up your cross signifies embracing difficult trials that come with a life of discipleship for the sake of Christ. Just as Jesus carried his cross to Calvary, we are called to bear our own crosses. And when he thinks of that, he's speaking of something that might include persecutionally suffering for the sake of the gospel. Taking up your cross is a call to endure with steadfast faith and unwavering commitment, knowing that your struggles are not in vain. As we take up our cross, we must be willing to die in order to follow Jesus. Dying to self is an absolute surrender to God. Now, persecution may never come to you. Rejection for the sake of Christ may never come to you. Suffering for the sake of the gospel may never come to you. Count your blessings and name them one by one. But one day it may come. It may come that you need to take up your cross at that moment, as it has for thousands of believers around the world. You might remember our first Lottie Moon, I think it was the first video that we watched this year. And it talked about those who had denied themselves, those who had taken up their cross, literally, and followed Jesus into the mission field. And I believe there were some 300 names on that list. And this shows what it means to take up your cross. Are you ready? Are you willing to take up your cross? Are you willing to take up your cross if it means that your family disowns you? Are you willing to take up your cross if it means losing your closest friends? Are you willing to take up your cross if it means losing your reputation for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to take up your cross if it means losing your job? Are you willing to take up your cross if it means losing your life for the sake of the gospel? This is what it means. For many, these consequences are a reality. And I'm not saying these things will happen to you if you take up your cross, but are you willing? A disciple of Christ must be willing to suffer loss, even give his life. If faced with a choice of Jesus or the comforts of this world, which will you choose? Commitment to Christ means taking up your cross daily, giving up your hopes for the sake of Christ. And I have to say that it is not one option of many. Luke 14, 27, we heard it. It says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Only if you're willing to take up your cross can you be called his disciple. But I tell you, the reward is worth the price. As Jesus called his disciples to take up and follow me, Christ led the way. And as we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross, as Christ led the way, we are to follow him. Following Jesus is a call to walk in his footsteps, to live according to his teachings and embody his love and compassion in our interactions with others. It requires a radical reorientation of our lives, where Christ becomes the focal point around everything else which revolves in our lives. Following Jesus is not simply an intellectual assent to his teachings, but it's a wholehearted commitment to live your life as a true disciple of Christ. To follow Christ means he has become everything to us. Everyone follows something, right? You can get out your phone and open social media and you can follow anybody that you want to. We follow friends We follow the popular culture. We follow family. We follow desires, good or bad. Or we can follow God. We can only follow one thing at a time. I'm reminded of Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." In the first of the Ten Commandments, God states that we are to have no other gods before him. We are to follow God and God alone. Following Jesus means striving to be like him. Jesus always obeyed his Father. This was nothing, there was nothing more important to him. So that's what we are to strive to do as well. To truly follow Christ means to make him the boss. That's what it means to make him Lord of our lives. And this part is often forgot in our salvation. This is what it means to make Jesus Lord. We want to be saved from our sins. But do we really want to give up our ways, our sinful ways? Christ being Lord often gets bumped down the road as if to say, "I will make him Lord when I'm ready." He must be Savior and Lord of our lives from day one. Jesus has called us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. I believe it is black and white. Christ is our example. You may say, "Well, he was perfect. He was the Son of God." Yes, he was, but he also said, "As I am holy, you are to be holy." Maybe you want an earthly example. Well, how about Paul? He was a great example, and he said, "Follow me as I have followed Christ." Embracing this challenge of Christ's call is not an easy task. But as we consider the cost, we find that the rewards far outweigh the sacrifice. Number two is the cost of Christ's call. We must count the cost of following Christ because, as I have said, it might cost you everything, including your life. As Pastor Mike read for us this morning in Luke 14, Jesus lays out the cost of discipleship once again. It says, "If you don't hate your family and your own life, if you do not bear your cross, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple." Do you see the cost in that passage? And in the passage that he read? Again, Paul understood this. Paul was a persecutor of God, but he had everything going for him. Yet on the Damascus Road, God got his attention and changed his life forever. Paul had a choice to make. And we learn later that he counted the cost. As he wrote in Philippians 3, verse 7, he says, "But whatever I had gained, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." What a reward. "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul was ready and willing, and he gave up everything for the sake of Christ and the gospel. He counted the cost and said, "Even if I lose my life, it is worth it." Are you willing to lose your life for the sake of Christ? Are you willing to give up all that you have for the sake of Christ? It is worth it. There may be times when it is hard and you question, is it truly worth it? The answer is, it is truly worth it. I get it. You may be afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So don't lose heart. For this momentary light affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We have a great reward that is waiting for us. Jesus teaches us that those who are willing to lose their lives for his sake, and I don't want you to miss that. I've mentioned that several times. Those who are willing to lose their lives for his sake and for the sake of the gospel will find a true and abundant life. This paradoxical truth challenges us to let go of our own aspirations and submit ourselves fully to the will of God. It is a call to die to our selfish desires and to live for the exaltation of Christ and the advancement of the kingdom. The cost of following Christ pales in comparison to the immeasurable reward of eternal life in his presence. By prioritizing our relationship with God and seeking his kingdom above all else, we secure a future that is characterized by unending joy, fulfillment, and communion with Christ. We can fall to the lie that the things of this world, they will bring us joy and fulfillment. And they might for a moment, but they are always fleeting. To follow Christ means that we will have to make sacrifices, but the temporary sacrifices that we make are eclipsed by the eternal blessings that await us in the age. And faithful servant, to see the beauty of heaven and all that is waiting there for us, to sit at the feet of our Savior, to worship God perfectly for all eternity. This is what we gain for following Christ. So we must surrender our worldly desires. Embracing Christ's call demands us to surrender our worldly desires and seek first the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of the song often sang during the invitation in the church we grew up. It says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Surrendering worldly desires involves a radical reordering of our priorities and our values. It means relinquishing the pursuit of material possessions, the quest for status and recognition, the relentless pursuit of self-gratification. Instead, we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that all our earthly needs will be provided as we align ourselves with God's purposes. We must count the cost, but the cost is worth it. Have you counted the cost? Are you giving your all to Jesus today? I hope that is true of you. If you are not this morning, I pray that you will think long and hard about the call of Christ. It is no mistake that you are here this morning. It is no accident that you are here this morning. under the sovereign hand of God, you are hearing this call. Are you living for the world to get all that you can out of the world? Are you trying to live your best life here and now? Well, Jesus is not done teaching, and he goes on to say in verse 36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" We can't stop where we are. Variety of the choices we make in response to his invitation. Three is the consequences of ignoring Christ's call. First, we see losing one's soul. Jesus warns us that by gaining the entire world, as if we could do that, that we will lose our soul. We will forfeit the most precious gift of all. Gaining the entire world but losing one's soul is the ultimate tragedy. Ignoring Christ's call leads to spiritual emptiness and a separation from God. And when we think gaining the whole world, that's not even possible. So let me bring this down to us, to a level we might can understand and put in our minds a little better. Do you put your job first? Are you trying to make it to the very top for yourself? Do you want fame in your life? Do you want money? Do you want power? Do you want the big house, the nice fancy cars? Are you out to take over the world, as we see some think they can do? Now, as I read these things, many of them are not bad in and of themselves. The Lord blesses us with certain things. But those who prioritize worldly pursuits over their relationships with God risk forfeiting the very essence of their being. What is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's not to glorify self and enjoy stuff, because that stuff will one day be gone. That stuff will one day rust. That stuff will one day break. If you reject Jesus for worldly things and you become the richest, most powerful person on earth, you still have made a poor decision. Because sooner or later, all things will fade away, and you will have lost the only part of yourself that lasts forever, is your soul. There is nothing more valuable than a person's soul. And to trade that away for worldly things is simply foolishness. If you choose to embrace the world instead of heaven, you are forfeiting your soul. If you reject Christ for the sake of anything in this life, you will lose your soul. Think soul for 30 pieces of silver. Demas loved this present world and forsook the ministry. Both of these men thought they were gaining something, but actually lost everything. The consequence of rejecting Christ's call, friends, is to face the judgment of God. Every decision that we make, every response to Christ's invitation, it carries eternal significance. And one day, in the presence of the righteous judge, we will be held accountable for how we choose to live our lives and how we respond to the calls of Christ. And those who ignore Christ's call, they will face the shame of standing before God and the angels and realizing the opportunity that they have missed to embrace the abundant life offered through Christ Jesus. The regret of not heeding the call of the Savior and the missed opportunities to live a meaningful, purpose-driven life will weigh heavily on the hearts and minds of those who have turned away from Christ's invitation. The call of Christ that we see in this passage is radical, and it is challenging, but it is also filled with hope and promise. As we meditate on these words of our Lord, let us consider our response. Embracing the challenge of Christ's call and counting the cost are essential steps in our journey of faith. We cannot choose to ignore this call. Rather, we must respond with a wholehearted devotion, knowing that the rewards of following Him far exceed any sacrifice that we will ever make. May each of us, in our own unique way, answer the call of Christ and walk in His footsteps, embracing the abundant life that He offers and finding ultimate fulfillment in Him. Let's pray. Father, these are hard words. We even see people turning from Christ in certain situations when He brings these teachings to light. I pray that we would not run from this truth, but that we would run and embrace this truth, this calling. I pray not January 1st, but today we would choose to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow You daily. I pray, Lord, that You would help us, but we trust for Your Spirit to help us in these things. Help us to rely on Your Spirit. Help us to rely on our brothers and sisters in Christ to run this race and continue to be faithful. Lord, we thank You for this call and pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to it. We ask all this in Your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.